You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, September 14, 2021. Crossroads Encore Edition. Record global gas prices signal more room for North American LNG. Published by Lindsay Schneider. It has been a chaotic 18 months for North American LNG and the global gas market. In a short time, international gas markets went from oppressively oversupplied balances, high storage inventories, and historically low prices for much of 2020, to reckoning with panic-inducing supply shortage, low inventories, multi-year or all-time high prices in the biggest LNG-consuming regions. The resulting whiplash has transformed key aspects of the LNG market, including making a profound impact on the way existing LNG terminals operate, how projects secure funding and capacity commitments, and what off-takers expect for the next generation of LNG capacity build-out. The tight market appears to have settled the question of whether more export capacity is needed, at least for now, but the market's sharp U-turn has also put potential off-takers on edge and underscored the need for contractual flexibility. Additionally, pressure to reduce greenhouse gas, or GHG, emissions is higher than ever, and LNG off-takers are increasingly demanding greener solutions to address government regulations and public concerns. This convergence of factors has put the LNG market at crossroads. Taking all of the lessons learned from the past 18 months and before, the industry must now forge a new path forward. In the Encore edition of today's RBN blog, we discuss highlights from our new drill-down report, looking at the major trends that will define the North American LNG market in the coming years. In observance of today's holiday, we've given our writers a break and are revisiting a recently published blog on our drill-down report on North American LNG markets. If you didn't read it then, this is your opportunity to see what you missed. Happy Thanksgiving! The domestic and international LNG markets today are almost unrecognizable from a year ago. At this time last year, U.S. Gulf Coast LNG producers were just emerging from the peak of the cargo cancellations that had been occurring all summer long, precipitated by COVID-related shutdowns and demand destruction around the globe. International gas prices had partially recovered from the all-time lows seen over the summer but were still near multi-year lows, while Henry Hub was languishing in the low to mid $2 per million BTU range. The economics for delivering to Europe and Asia still left U.S. LNG mostly out of the money. For example, the Japan-Korea Marker, or JKM, the oldest and most liquid LNG price index and a good representation of the global LNG market, fell to historical lows near $2 per million BTU in the spring and carried $2 handles through much of summer. As COVID conditions in Asia began to ease, earlier in Asia than in Europe or the US, JKM prices staged a modest recovery but stayed below $3 per million BTU until the September contract expired in mid-August and prices began climbing from there. This time last year, prices were just shy of $5 per million BTU. As for domestic feed gas deliveries to the terminals, they had gone from flowing at rates of nearly 100% utilization of operating liquefaction capacity pre-COVID, down to more like a third of the estimated total feed gas requirement in July 2020. By September 2020, cargo cancellations were starting to ease. Feed gas flows had begun to recover but were still running at little more than 50% of the total requirement. Overall, there was still a great deal of uncertainty about when, how, and by how much global gas demand would recover. With much of the existing capacity sitting idle, the idea of building or expanding LNG terminals, which was already losing favor before COVID, became downright unpalatable. Export projects were losing off-taker or developer interest and being canceled or paused. Fast forward to a year later, and the market is facing just the opposite, an extreme undersupply situation that has driven prices to the longest and strongest bull run in the shale era, if not ever. JKM has catapulted to all-time seasonal highs this summer and is averaging above $18 per million BTU in September to date, which is less than $2 per million BTU shy of the all-time high seen in January 2021, when constraints for transiting the Panama Canal were causing severe delays and vessel shortages. At the same time, European gas price indices have posted all-time highs recently. You can read more about the reasons why: low storage inventories, low imports, steep competition for cargoes, and robust demand, among them, in It's Too Late. But suffice it to say, U.S. feed gas demand has more than recovered this year. After Corpus Christi Train 3 came online in late March, total feed gas reached a record of 11.24 BCF per day and averaged an astounding 10.77 BCF per day this past April. feed gas flows subsequently retreated from those record levels in the spring and summer, primarily due to pipeline maintenance and the related constraints in moving gas to the terminals, particularly in Louisiana. That record from late March still stands. Nevertheless, deliveries to the terminals have been at record highs each month, averaging just shy of 10 BCF per day from May through August, up an average 5.5 BCF per day from the same period last year. Moreover, feed gas demand is headed even higher soon. Sabine Pass Train 6 and Calcasieu Pass are both currently commissioning and due online early next year. Both projects are expected to take feed gas this fall as they prepare to produce first LNG by the end of the year. The addition of these projects will add more than 2.25 BCF per day of new feed gas demand to the U.S. Gulf Coast, ensuring that we've not yet seen the highest feed gas levels yet this year. Beyond 2022, a handful of projects that reached a final investment decision, or FID, prior to COVID are still under construction, including Golden Pass in the U.S. Gulf Coast, and two new terminals outside of the U.S., Energía Costa Azul, or ECA, LNG in Mexico and LNG Canada in Canada. The latter two will export from the Pacific coast, which is becoming a hotbed of LNG development because it bypasses the Panama Canal constraints and provides more than $1 per million BTU transport cost advantage over the Gulf Coast thanks to its proximity to the all-important Asian markets. Of course, the ease of sourcing gas in the U.S. Gulf Coast counterbalances some of that advantage, and at this point, more LNG development in both areas seems likely, albeit with a different scope and pace than was expected in the previous decade, the 2010s, when North America was first entering the global gas market. Any new LNG development is a welcome change from where the market was last summer, when we were witnessing a slow-motion meltdown among the second wave of North American LNG export projects that saw many of them delayed, put on the back burner, or canceled. The rapid swing to undersupply and prolonged high global gas prices have renewed interest in offtake agreements and new LNG build-out. Support is coalescing around a handful of North American LNG projects that may take FID in the next year or so. However, offtakers and developers have learned a number of lessons from recent events, and the contracts underpinning these projects look very different from those that supported the first wave of North American LNG. For one thing, new deals signed in recent months share the market risks and rewards between LNG buyers and sellers, and offer LNG index to a variety of different global price indices, as opposed to just Henry Hub, as was the standard for the first wave projects. The latest deals often also offer shorter terms in order to appeal to offtakers who are working to balance the need for reliability with long-term uncertainty, particularly as environmental regulations tighten worldwide. Another consideration that wasn't on the radar during the first wave of projects but is now practically a requirement, going green. As the pressure to become greener has intensified, LNG producers and developers are looking at ways to reduce or offset emissions. This effort is not only an essential strategy for the next generation of LNG terminals but one that is being explored by the existing terminals as well. LNG offtakers are increasingly looking for green LNG cargoes and contracts and to minimize or offset their carbon footprint. Carbon-neutral LNG cargoes have already been produced and sold from U.S. terminals, using carbon credits. A number of existing and planned LNG terminals are exploring carbon sequestration options. And finally, many of the new terminals that go forward are likely to opt for an all-electric liquefaction process to reduce emissions. Overall, the North American LNG industry has demonstrated a resilience over the past 18 months that has cemented its position as an important marginal producer for global markets. LNG developers have had to shift strategies to attract offtakers, focusing on green initiatives, shorter contracts, and diverse pricing structures, and that, coupled with growing global demand, has ensured that North America has not seen its last LNG project take FID with gas demand growth led by Asia, as well as increasing Russian exports to Europe, decreasing that market's reliance on LNG. The next wave of North American LNG development is exploring new Asia-centric strategies, specifically with new projects announced in Mexico and Canada on the Pacific coast. Some of these projects could move quickly and bypass a number of previously announced Gulf Coast projects on their way to FID, but don't count the Gulf Coast projects out either, as the market weighs the relative ease of supply access along the Gulf Coast versus easy access to the increasingly important Asian markets from the Pacific coast. All in all, 2022 could realistically see multiple projects from both the Gulf and West Coast take FID. In our latest drill down report, we take a look at North American LNG and its place in the global gas market, which is at a crossroads as near-term supply shortages intersect with long-term demand uncertainty. We examine how we got here, what it means for LNG now, and most importantly, what the future of North American LNG looks like. For more information on the drill down report, click here. Crossroads was first written and recorded as Crossroad Blues by Robert Johnson in 1936, with his recording released the following year. This song has a lot of mythology surrounding it, with the main story being that Johnson was a guitarist with limited skills until he sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads described in his song. There is a roadside landmark at the intersection of Highway 61 and Highway 49 in Clarksdale, Mississippi, where this event is said to have transpired. American blues artist Elmore James also released two versions of the song, one in 1954 and the other in 1965. Cream recorded its version of the song, retitled Crossroads and including a verse from Robert Johnson's Traveling Riverside Blues, in November 1966 for broadcast on the BBC Guitar Club radio show. The band recorded a longer live version of the song at the Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco in March 1968. It is this version that leads side 3 of Cream's two-disc 1968 album, Wheels of Fire. Personnel on the record were Eric Clapton on vocals and guitar, Jack Bruce on bass, and Ginger Baker on drums. Wheels of Fire is the third album released by Cream. Disc 1 of the double LP was recorded in the studio at IBC Studios in London and Atlantic Studios in New York City. Disc 2 features live material recorded by the band at the Winterland and Fillmore Ballrooms in San Francisco. Produced by Felix Pappalardi, the record was released in the US in July 1968 and went to number 1 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. It has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Two singles were released from the album. Cream was a British rock power trio formed in London in July 1966 with Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, and Ginger Baker. They released 4 studio albums, 4 live albums, 10 compilation albums, and 10 singles. They are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and have a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. The band announced its breakup in May 1968 and performed its final live show in November of that year. Cream reunited to perform 3 songs live during its induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1993. The band reunited again for 4 shows at the Royal Albert Hall in London in May 2005 and 3 shows at Madison Square Garden in New York City in October 2005. All 3 members of Cream went on to successful careers as solo artists and members of other ensembles. Jack Bruce died in October 2014, and Ginger Baker in October 2019. Eric Clapton continues to record and perform live.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.